Good afternoon. We want to continue our series entitled He Cares. We talked last week about He Cares, and we're now going to talk about We Care. We're going to talk about how that reality of compassion now applies to you and me here today. What does that look like? Last week, we talked about how easy it is to be desensitized given our culture where we see the poor all around us. We didn't just talk about being desensitized. We talked about how it's easy to dichotomize, to segregate one from the other, to say that we're the church, that's not our job, that's the job of the government, that's the job of the social welfare, that's the job of an NGO, that's not the job of the church. And we said last week, no, we shouldn't be desensitized, and most of all, we shouldn't dichotomize. There is a place of compassion that the church should have. Today, I want to talk to you about a word that some of you should know, but if you don't know, it's probably because you're not studying your Bible enough or you're not going through a discipleship group. And that word is the word eschatology. Eschatology is simply a branch of theology. Theology is the study of God, and eschatology is that branch of theology that deals with the end times or deals with the end of the world. There are some people, some Christians, who their passion in life is eschatology. They always want to know how the world will end. And they're usually weird. Right? They usually want to know the 666, the pill, the transponder in your head. They're weird. Okay, so, but eschatology is important for our discussion on compassion, mainly because of the text that I'm going to be talking to you about. The text I'm going to be reading out of the book of Matthew deals with eschatology or the end times. What's interesting is, just like last week, one of the last things that Jesus does on his way to Calvary, on his way to Jerusalem, was this thing called compassion. And here today we're going to look at eschatology and see how Jesus takes this thing called eschatology and focuses it on compassion. It's a powerful set of scriptures. The scripture we're looking at is Matthew chapter 25, verse 32. Jesus is prophesying. Jesus is speaking the truth to his disciples and describing the end of the world. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He's describing the end of the world. He's talking about all the nations and this idea of separating the sheep from the goats. He's talking about the righteous and the unrighteous at the end of the world. This is it. The moment. Everybody following? Now, he goes on to say, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom was prepared for you since the creation of the world. So he's saying at the end of the world, Jesus is standing. He's separating the righteous and the unrighteous, the goat from the sheep. And then he speaks to the righteous and says, come, you who are blessed. And I want to make a statement at this point. Part of the reason why we sometimes do not exercise compassion is because we don't believe or we don't fully realize that we're already blessed. Are you here? And when you don't realize you're fully blessed, what tends to happen is you withhold. Because if I'm not blessed, if I'm just as poor as the other guy, if I'm just as needy as the other guy, then why should I be a blessing to him? When you have an understanding of how blessed you are, then you have an ability to say, I am blessed and I can be compassionate to other people. Now, this is a card that is worth reading here today. It says, if you have food in your fridge, how many of you have refrigerators? Some of you don't have refrigerators. Okay. If you have a refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, if you're that, okay, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you read the news in Syria and Lebanon today, over 1 million people have lost their homes. 1 million. No refrigerators. If you go to places like India, China, You go to other places. You still with me? There are places in the world. If you're one of these guys, you are 75%. And sometimes we are so inundated with selfishness that just because my refrigerator is not, give me a name brand, Sub-Zero, I'm not yet blessed. Some of you already have an iPhone 4 and you look at your neighbors and he has an iPhone 5 and you feel unblessed. In fact, some of you already have an iPhone 5, you want an iPhone 6 and they haven't even come out with it yet and you're already lusting after it. And that's why even though you have an iPhone 5, you're not happy. Because you don't think you're blessed. He goes on to say, if you have money in the bank, your wallet, and some spare change, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Everybody say, hallelujah. Can you imagine? And here you are because of advertising, because of the inundation of Facebook. You feel like, I'm still not blessed. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than a million people who will not survive this week. A million people are going to die this week. Look at your neighbor. Does he look blessed? He should be. He should at very least smile at you and say, I'm blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. Now listen to this. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture, or the horrible pangs of starvation, you are luckier than 500 million people alive and are suffering right now. Wow. You should print this card. Yeah, right. Take a picture and print it and put it in your refrigerator door. If you have one, some of you don't. You guys don't have refrigerators. If you can read the message, this message, you are more fortunate than 3 billion people in the world who cannot read it at all. In other words, the vast majority of people are illiterate. And here we are, Christians. God speaking to us, you're blessed. I've blessed you, and still here we are. And we're just talking about material stuff. We're not even talking about the real stuff, the real blessing. Our confession when we wake up every day should be, I'm blessed to be a blessing. The reason why we become compassionate is when you realize you're already blessed. Then obviously you want to be a blessing. But if you still don't feel like you're blessed, then you'll never be a blessing. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 27, those who give to the poor will lack nothing. You know, I can, and I'll say this to you, this is true, and I'm not fabricating this. I can actually say that. I actually can say right here and now, I lack nothing. That's what contentment is. To be content means you're so full. Contentment is not saying I'm only up to here and I'm just going to pretend like I'm okay. That's not contentment. That's a poverty mindset. Contentment is I'm already content. My contents are full. Get it? Contentment, establishment, cement. No, it's not cement. In other words, the point is when you add the word meant, it becomes a reality. It becomes something solid. When you say you have contentment, it's because your heart is so full of God. I really lack nothing here. I really don't lack anything. It's a mindset. It's fear. It's an inundation of wrong information. But those who close their eyes to them will receive many curses. And this is eschatology, folks. You're going to see in a bit what Jesus says about this. This is about the last days here. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the... Imagine that. That if you're actually kind to the poor, you are like God's banker. You're like a guy who lends to God, and He will reward them. There's a reward for what they have done. Something that happens when we actually are compassionate to those who are in need. But here's the real blessing. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That's the ultimate blessing. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. That's why you're blessed. You and I are blessed not because of all the other things I said there. Those are material things. The ultimate blessing is to know that I am secure for all eternity. I was reading a book on my flight back here, and it was describing this door of eternity. And I don't know the exact figures, but it was describing how that door is locked until that moment when you die and you go through this door. And that there's a keyhole, and that you can only look through the keyhole and really see just a minute perspective of what's behind it in eternity. Then he begins to describe what you can see. He says, you know what you can see through that keyhole? You can see the earth, and you can see the 9 planets that are revolving around the sun. And it begins to describe how big that sun is, that it's so big that it can contain millions of earths inside that one sun. Are you here? And then it begins to say that within that keyhole, there's not only one sun, there are actually billions of suns. And that's only through the keyhole. Imagine what it looks like when you cross through that door. The magnitude of the splendor of the glory of your God, and you are blessed because your sins have been covered and your key has been given to you for all eternity. And here you are. Why am I using an iPhone 4? I need an iPhone 6. And God's saying to you, you're blessed. Blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Compassion really stems from being blessed. We will not be compassionate until we get to that place where we realize, I am blessed. It's going to be very easy for you to. My wife met an Italian girl in the mall while we were in Macau. And she started conversing with this girl, and she works in Macau. And Macau is an interesting place. It's a crazy place. Less than 600,000 people in this tiny island. And over 30 million tourists come every year. Can you imagine? In about 5 years, the tourism business of Macau is going to be bigger than Paris. It's no joke because of all the China's wealth. Last year, Macau surpassed Las Vegas income 800%. And there are 600,000 people. There's so much wealth. But you walk around the city, people are desperate. They're not blessed. That's why our church is growing there. They're realizing it's not enough. It's a crazy place. So my wife reaches out to this Italian girl and starts chit-chatting with her. My wife's a very, very compassionate girl. And starts befriending her. On the last day, she says, I've got to look for Giovanna. I said, hon, you're not going to find Giovanna. That's her mall. Did you see in the mall? The mall is so big, the electric cost of the mall, I'm not exaggerating, $20 million US a month. The electric bill. I said, there's no way you're going to find her. We're going to find her. And she looks for a letter for, and she's the one that in that section of the mall, she types out a letter from, an Italian letter from God. Is that correct? And she says, I'm going to find her. And looks for her. And finds this young girl, 24-year-old girl, 25, however old she is. And she says, this is a letter for you from God. In Italian. She got it on the internet. And she prays for her. And she could see this young girl touched. Sometimes you think that she probably makes more money than we do. But you know what? We're more blessed. And sometimes we are so inundated with this idea of material possession and things we don't realize how blessed we are and how much we can give. And my wife wrote down her email address and said, if you need anything, just email me. And reached out to her with compassion. But we make a mistake that we think that they're more blessed because they want more stuff. They've got nicer clothes. You know what? At the end of the day, a shirt is a shirt. Amen? You know, a shirt is a shirt. Crocodile and polo player and all. Are you still with me? Now he goes on to say in Matthew verse 35, for I was hungry. There he begins to unpack what this looks like. He says, here's the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. He doesn't say, because you got your theology right. And please don't get me wrong. I love theology. I rather think I've got good theology. But you know what? That's not what Jesus is going to say. Like, okay, or do you know the difference between that? No, no, he's going to say, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Compassion. What marks the righteous and the unrighteous, what marks the goat and the sheep. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was going to show you a video that I failed to show you last week. This is a video of a young man, and this is where the interface between theology, not just theology, but the truth of Scripture, the truth of God's Word hits a heart and yet needs to be ushered in and helped to be able to get out. Needs compassion, needs real people, real lives to help him. I'm going to let you watch this video and I'll come back in.
Ang trabaho ng papa ko is namamasura everyday or tinatawag na scavenger. Tapos ang mama ko is housewife lang. Minsan, nagtatrabaho siya. Nagsiserve siya sa church, volunteer, sa kitchen staff. Ang kinikita ng tatay ko is 150 a day. Minsan, tsambahan, 200 or 300 pag malakas yung kita. Pero pang pagkain lang po yun. Yung pagpasok sa school, pangungutang pa yung mga bawal ng kapatid ko. Tapos minsan pa yung papa ko, hindi nangangarito, hindi siya nangunguha. Tapos, alcoholic po yung papa ko. Para nakakaya yan ha, bakit ganito yung pamilya namin? Napaka-miserable. Pero yun, salamat dahil bata pa lang ako, nataniman na ako ng pananampalataya kay Lord. Na yung lumaki ako, nabaong ko na hindi nawala sa akin. Actually, dapat mawala yun eh. Kasi ang lugar namin tondo, kung sinabing tondo, delikado. Maraming drug addict. Mga kaibigan ko po, rugby boy, tapos sigarilyo, tapos tropa-tropa, fraternity, tapos minsan mag-jammy kayo, iba nag-rugby. Pag nasa tondo ko, magiging ganito ka talaga. Pero salamat kay Lord dahil hindi ako naging ganun. Na naging malakas yung faith ko na ano, na hindi nila ako nahawaan ng ganong addiction. Pangarap ko po talaga makatapos ng pag-aaral sa college, makakuha ng kursong computer science. Pangarap ko rin po na natulungan yung parents ko, makahon sa kahirapan. Ako na po magtustos ng pag-aaral ng mga kapatid ko na wala pong kakayahan. Napaka-blessed kong tao na napili ako. Wala talagang kayang parents ko. Pag-aaralin ako. Dapat maging lalaki ako, basurero. Pero hindi. Binigyan ako ng pangarap. Salamat kay Lord dahil hindi siya nagbabago. Na tinupad niya yung pangako niya sa akin sa Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. Salamat kay Lord dahil ngayon, nararamdaman ko na may plano siya sa akin. Na may future akong maganda na mararating. Tapos hindi ako mapapahamak. Napakasaya po. Kasi kung hindi po dahil kay Lord, kasi hindi po ako makakagraduate ng college.
The biggest mistake you're going to make is if you think that if you provided someone with education, it will solve his problems. The problem of the human heart is not material. It's spiritual. But sometimes the Bible tells us that the guy can't cross over. He just doesn't have the ability to do it. And we need to understand that. And as a church, we're scaling things up. And there's we're not just randomly, and please don't misunderstand me, we're not just randomly taking anybody off the streets. These are people that we're discipling. These are people that we're reaching out to. We're helping them walk that. And that's why there's our foundation has a 95% batting average of people that actually graduate. Most NGOs have like a 40, 50% batting average. Because there is a place for church. There is a place for people to walk people through, not just a scholarship. They need hope. They need encouragement. Now, verse 36 says, I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And notice how it's not all just one track. And I need you to understand this. As a church, we've got the Real Life Foundation, which is designed to help people that are young and get them out, because mainly because that's 70% of the nation. We've got to help those guys get out. In another country, in Africa, a lot of what we do as every nation is in the orphanages. It's in aid centers. And even Pastor Paul's daughters serve there. And in our orphanage there. And there's a place where we need to understand social responsibility is not all going to look the same. But a church cannot not be socially responsible. A church cannot just be a theological place where we learn a bunch of stuff and go out. That theology has to translate into something called compassion. And he says this, and I say this to you because, I also say this to you because you might want to volunteer for Real Life, and we may not have all the slots available for now, but I need you to understand there are people right beside you, people in your homes, people that you can already bless today as soon as you leave here, people that you can already touch, people who work for you, people that you can already pray for and reach out to. And I understand the fact that sometimes we're not compelled to take action, and that's what compassion is. Compassion compels us to action. I understand the reality that there are people out there that are bogus. There are people, my wife got tricked into one of those. She saw this man who was writhing in pain, and because of her compassionate heart, she just took the man and brought him into the car and said, never do that again. But she just took the guy in the car, and the guy told her the story and said, you know, I need this much money for medicine and for medication, and I've got to have some money for transportation to go back to the province. I have to bring my son there. I had a whole story for her. And she gave him a lot of money and gave him everything and brought him to the hospital and let him go and prayed for him. And then we went to a party or somewhere. We were seated somewhere. We had a little gathering, and she were overhearing another guy telling the same exact story and that he had just helped the same guy. And when we asked him where it was, it's the same spot. And then when he started to describe who this guy looked like, he looked exactly like the guy that she, my wife. In other words, I understand that sometimes I don't want to do this because what's the use? There's trickery. But here's the point. You're better off taking the risk. It's still worth it. Because God sees it. And don't let one bad apple ruin the whole bunch. I think that's a Donny Osmond song, isn't it? But the point is, don't let one bad guy, one rotten apple, destroy the whole thing. You got to step out and just be a blessing to others. You are blessed. Compassion compels us to action. There's got to be some form of action that this has to translate to. We can't just. Some of you have more than enough. Please don't get me wrong. If you want 30, 40, 50 shoes, 3,000 shoes, that's up to you. But at some level, there's got to be a translation to action. It's a story about this young man who was born in Agusan del Norte. His name is Ram. And Ram's father was a farmer. And his monthly income was 1,500 pesos a month. Even if you lived in the province, that's a stretch. And Ram wanted to up his stature in life. And so he asked his father, would you just allow me not to become a farmer like you, but become a tricycle driver so I can double my income. How many of you know 3,000 pesos just doesn't cut it still? Long story made short, he realizes that's not even worth it. He decides to come to Manila. He doesn't realize what Manila is, a more expensive city. And his father finances his trip. He gets here and obviously goes hungry. Ends up as a construction worker. And through perseverance and trying, he ends up as a waiter, a busboy at Jollibee. And he gets a Jollibee scholarship. In other words, you go to school and at the same time you're a waiter. And he goes to school trying to get to computer science. And he goes to STI over there across the street. And one of our guys reaches out to him and brings him to church and leads him to the Lord. And he becomes a Christian. Goes to Victory Weekend, serves at kids' church, serves as one of our ushers, serves a church. There's something about the church, folks. It's not all just dishing out money. And he realizes we have the Real Life Foundation. He said, you don't have to work and study at the same time. You can actually apply for the Real Life Foundation, and he gets it. And eventually, he becomes one of our scholars. And simultaneously serves the church. He's just one of our disciple makers here. An amazing kid. And he's graduating this year, and he's on his way. He actually got a job. He graduated from computer science. He's actually on his way to China. He's got a job there waiting for him. And he's on his way to our church there, to serve in our church there. Fascinating story. Real life people that can, we can do this. You don't even have to be emotional. It can be done. We just have to really do it. Matthew 1:37, the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you? I didn't even see you. I didn't see you go hungry. I didn't see you grow thirsty. When did we see you a stranger? When did we see you sick or in prison? I didn't see you. Jesus answered, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. That if you would touch that person, you're doing it for me. Because at some level, folks, compassion becomes second nature. It's just who you are. You're just so content and you're so full and you're so, that's just who I am. I can feel how others feel. And it becomes second nature, I just step out and do it. Proverbs 13:14-31 says, when whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Every time you come here on a Sunday, what do we tell you? Honor God and what? Make disciples. You know what honors God? If you're kind to the needy, that honors God. If that's what we stand for, we should be known in the city. Those are the guys. I love the story of this TV show, Wish Ko Lang, where they hide behind the scenes and they shoot videos of people. And they set up one of these old ladies, and she went to a drugstore, and she was pleading with she was standing there for minutes, and people were just passing by and passing by and passing by. And there she was begging the drugstore attendant, saying, please lend me money. I really need it. This medication is vital. We're going to lose lives here. And she was begging this woman to give her money. And nobody noticed her. Until one lady was standing and said, listen, what's going on? She says, I need help. I need just 1,800 pesos. And she said, I'll help you. And he said, really? And all of a sudden, the cameras all came out. And all the microphones came out. And apparently, it was a setup. They were wondering if someone would actually still help this lady. And when they started to interview this girl, they said, why would you do such a thing? She said, she needs help. But why were you in the drugstore? Well, I'm buying medicine because my brother is in the hospital and he's fighting for his life. He has a 50-50 chance of surviving. So who are you? Where are you from? Why would you do something like that? And said, I'm a Christian. I was so proud of her because she's from Victory Fort. And she hit national television, and she doesn't even want to be known. And I don't want Victory to be known. I want Jesus to be known. The people would hear about Jesus everywhere and say, wow, that's what Christianity is all about. Real people, real lives, just second nature. It's just automatic. And I get it. I know there are bogus. I know there are crooks. But don't let that faze you. You've all heard of the starfish story, of the big wave that dropped on the sands and the beach, and thousands of starfish left on the banks. And the sun was about to come out, and they knew that the starfish were going to bake to death. And this little boy comes out and starts picking up the starfish and starts throwing them into the water. Picks up the starfish and throws it in the water, picks one up and throws it in the water, and picks one up and throws it in the water. And all these old men came out and says, what in the world are you doing? You're wasting your time. There's no way you can, there's thousands of them. There's no way this is going to happen. There's no way you can do it. He says, you know what? It really doesn't matter. This is a waste of time. And he picks up one more starfish and throws it. To him, it matters. To this guy, it matters. To this guy, it matters. To this guy, it matters. Not, maybe not to all, but to this one guy, it matters. I can do something about it now. And if you had any sense, old man, you better pick up and throw some. Because to that one guy, it does matter. As I close, I'm going to show you one last video, and then we'll close in prayer.
I'm si Zane. Ngayon po, I'm taking broadcasting. Sobrang pangarap ko tong course na to before. Hindi ko makita paano ako umabot sa ganitong level. Since apat kami magkakapatid, yung ate ko papasok sa school, may baon. Yung kuya ko papasok sa school, may baon. Pagdating po sa akin, tsaka sa bunso kong kapatid, laging wala na. Parang kami na lang po yung bahala. Para anong gagawin namin sa school. So, syempre, para sa akin, lifestyle ko na yun. Since yung pang-arap ko po is hindi ako pwedeng mag-stop ng pag-aaral. Kasi since then, parang lumaki ako sa hirap. Ayoko pong matapos lang din ako sa hirap. Noong high school po ako, naging part ako ng isang scholarship. Until now, na hanggang sa gumraduate ako ngayong taon. During nung time na yun, parang ano, ayun, every time nang susulat ako ng address, hindi ko alam po anong address ilalagay ko. Kasi nga wala kami permanent address. Kasi every year, palipat-lipat kami ng bahay. Every year, pinapaalis kami ng bahay. Pinapalayas kami. Pero lagi ako nare-remind ni God, may bahay ako sa Kanya. Nag-conduct ako ng thesis sa South Cotabato. During that time, parang na-challenge ako ni God sa mga equipment na kailangan ko sa school. Ako bilang communication arts, bilang broadcasting, ang equipment na kailangan namin is camera, laptops, pero never ako nagkaroon ng mga ganung bagay. Umabot ako ng fourth year, wala akong mga ganun. Sobrang nakakatuwa lang kasi si God nagpo-provide siya ng mga tao para magkaroon ako ng ganun. Pero alam niyo yun, tinrain ako ni God na mag-persevere kahit wala akong mga gamit. Natapos ko yung thesis ko sa Cotabato, nakabalik ako ng Manila. Nakakatawa lang kasi parang during nung time na yun, 100 yung pinaka-top na score. Pero we got it 105. Parang sobra-sobra pa yung binigay ni God. Yung pinaka-revelation lang talaga sa ups and downs ng buhay ko is like, parang don't settle for just less, for anything else na nakikita mo. Kasi iba yung nakikita mo sa nakikita ni God. Parang kung ito, best na to para sa'yo. Iba yung best ni God para sa'yo.
With your help, More than 200 real-life scholars have graduated from university and are now helping lift their families out of poverty. Our scholars are mentored in leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence because our goal is to produce young men and women of character who will bless their families and change this nation. On behalf of our scholars, thank you for giving to life.
In your chairs, there are bookmarks that you can take home, pray about it, think about it. It costs 50,000 pesos a year to put one scholar through school every year. I'm not telling you to do that. I just want you to go home and pray about it. In the meantime, my prayer is that when you leave here, that heart of compassion is something that God does in your heart. This is real. Real life, real people. Real God, amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close with a word of prayer? Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Could you look up here for a minute? This is weird. I don't get these, but I think this is for you. I saw a whole ceiling full of Coca-Cola bottles that were empty, that were inverted. It's weird. And I thought, Lord, what is that? And when I was a little boy, I always asked my father, contents full, 8 full ounces, contents. And it says 8 full ounces. And that's where as I grew older, I got a revelation that that's what it means to be content, to be full. And I believe that as the Lord has just given me this picture, it's an amazing picture of just an entire ceiling full of empty Coca-Cola bottles that are inverted. And they're all empty. And I was asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what is that? And he says, that's the people of the church. You're going to be empty, but you're going to be lifted high, and you're going to be used as the light of the world. The world will look and say, wow. And there were lights inside those bottles. The light of the world sometimes is not that I drive the right car or I have the right clothes or I look right. The world's changing, folks. Jesus wants to see the real light of the world shown in our nation. Amen? Those who are so full that they're willing to empty themselves and say, God, I just choose to be the light of the world for you. Amen? Would you just lift up your hands towards Him this morning, this afternoon? God, empty us of vanity, of materialism, of selfish desires. Empty us, God, and fill us afresh with the light of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we may shine across this nation. Lord, I pray that you bring the light of compassion, Lord, the light of love for others. God, I pray that you do a deep work in each of our hearts, Lord. Father, bring deliverance, break yokes, Lord, break false mindsets, break ideas that say, I'm not yet blessed, I don't have enough, I'm not yet content. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bring deliverance even today. Set us free, Lord, and compel us to action, God. But more importantly, God, I pray that it'll be just be second nature to us. Lord, as Holy Spirit, as you do a work in each of our lives, as we imbibe your word in the fullness of all that's been preached here today, may you seal the truth of your compassion in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.